Again, it's a great joy to be here today and appreciate all the good singing and appreciate the Lord's presence already today with us. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62 today for a reading lesson. When I finished studying this morning, this message has been on my heart for a couple of weeks already. I knew what I was supposed to preach last week. I was preaching up in Louisville last week at Lions Missionary Baptist Church. The very same day that the Lord laid that message on my heart, He laid this message upon my heart as well. Very seldom do I ever put together sermon notes. Do I ever put an outline together? But today I did. And then after I got finished with it, the Lord impressed upon me, even in my study, to make copies of that. And so if you would like to keep sermon notes today, and if you'd like a copy of the sermon outline, I've got that with me today. And I made extra copies for anybody want one. If not, I'll just... Okay, but that's a good way to start. At least you've got somebody who wants to see the sermon note. I got some extra copies here. All right. What's that? I should do it after?
Oh, well.
Yeah. You know why? Somebody said, you know why she said that? Because the Lord might change the message before I get up there. And that has happened to me before. But if anything, I want everybody to understand, while I pass this out, that is possible. Here, we've got an instrument. I believe we've got a copy. Anybody else want one or need one? Anything, you can put it on the back side. And, what you're going to find out with me is I'm a little bit different preacher than some. You want one?
Yeah.
All right. In that, I firmly believe and follow the Spirit from the very moment that the Lord lays something on my heart up until I get ready to deliver it. And it's an uncomfortable feeling to be able to pass something out that you're going to preach on and then get up here and not preach anything on it. But at least we're going to start out with what it says and even the title of the message. Any of y'all want one of these? Y'all can read, can't you?
All right.
Okay. I got three extra copies. This message that God laid upon my heart is called Dynasty Design. Dynasty Design. Before we get started, for you that lived back in the 1980s, and I'm one of them, back in the 1980s there was a very popular show, and I'm not advocating watching it or going back and watching it, but it was called Dallas. You remember that? And from Dallas, there was a spinoff of that. Some of you are smiling, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But there was a spinoff of that, and it was called Dynasty. Remember? Everybody was glued on Dynasty and what was going to happen on the next episode. And so we come up with the word Dynasty. In the 2000s, year 2000, when we talk about Dynasty, everybody immediately, when you think about Dynasty, you think about Bucks and you think about Ducks, don't you? Every one of us do. Because you see Buck Dynasty and Duck Dynasty. That, you see, that's in the year 2000. But you see, what I want to do is I want to take you back over 2,000 years ago to the dynasty. Now, the word dynasty, and if you read there, this is from Webster's 1800 dictionary. It means power. It means sovereignty. It means a lord or a chief or to be able to or strong to prevail. And then Webster, when he was defining that, he says a government is a sovereignty, or rather a race of succession of kings in the same line or a family who govern a particular country as a dynasty, as like Egypt or Persia. The obligation of treaties and contracts is allowed to survive the change of dynasties. And so, when we talk about dynasties, what I want you to understand is we're talking about a succession of kings. A king of the same line or family who govern a particular country. Now, as we get ready to go into this message, I'm thankful that for this dynasty that we are part of. And it's real. It's a real dynasty. And so, as we get ready to go into this message, I want to read from Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 1. It says, For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. It says, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And Isaiah went on to say, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hezbollah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be merry. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. And ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. And the sons of thy strangers shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gate. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up, he says, cast up the highway, and gather out the stones, and lift up the standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye, the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. That's reading Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 12 for our reading lesson. And as we think about this dynasty today that we're talking about, I believe there's a specific design of this dynasty that we're talking about. This royal lineage or this kingdom that we're talking about. And we notice that Daniel even prophesied in Daniel 2 and 44 in your reading that there's dynasties that will come and go. Like the dynasties back in the 1980s. There are those in the bucks, there's those in the ducks. But I'm here to tell you today that this dynasty that we're talking about today has no end. It has no end. And if we think about what Daniel said in Daniel 2 and 44, a very familiar verse of Scripture, it says, And in those days these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And it says, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It says, but he says, out, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, I want you to think for just a little while as we go into this message today with us. This kingdom that we're talking about does have a sovereign chief. It has a sovereign chief. And that sovereign chief is the chief cornerstone of Zion. And I want to tell you today that this chief cornerstone of Zion is still as strong today as he was 2,000 years ago. He was so strong that the Bible says that he came into the world. And we even sung that song, Silent Church, tonight. And we're going to get a little bit into that in just a moment. God will direct our hearts that way. But I want you to notice that this sovereign Savior is the chief cornerstone. Peter described it in this way. If you look over in the notes there, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verses 1 through 8, I want to turn over there and I want to read these verses of Scripture, and I'll comment as the Spirit gives me utterance to do so. But I want dynasty that we're talking about and the design of it. It's a spiritual design, I want you to know. But you know what the spiritual design? I want to refute what a lot of the people have called churches today. But they say it's an invisible church. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that this church is alive and it's visible. And it's a symbol right here at Faith Church, and the people that are here. And we're going to be able to prove that by the Bible with the Lord's help today. Because first of all, we notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." My heart's desire today is that we'd all be spiritually fed. And that when we leave the house of God today, that we can say that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And I want you to know today that we may be up in years, that we may be old and getting closer to going home to be with Jesus in glory. But I want you to know that you may be a little weak sometimes, but when God's people are assembled together and the Lord meets with them, there will be lively stones among us that are founded upon the chief cornerstone, and that chief cornerstone of Zion is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. He said, "If so you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living, stone, disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious." He said, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God," He said, "by Jesus Christ." He said, "Wherefore," and pay close attention to verse 6, He said, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." You know what that word "confounded" means? It means you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed one bit. If you're standing on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, I'll guarantee you, you won't be disappointed one bit. But he said it's contained in the Scriptures, and I want to show you where that it is contained in the Scriptures about this chief cornerstone that has set up this dynasty that is still in existence today. It says over in Isaiah chapter 28, and if you'll go back there, we'll read where it says that, and we'll see what they have in reference to in verse 14. He says, "Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell." He says, "Are we at agreement with the overflowing a scourge that shall pass through? It shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." He said in verse 16, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone." He said, "A precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that liveth shall not make haste." I can read on there, but for the sake of time, I want to establish something here today. That chief cornerstone that we're talking about is Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us, as we're getting ready to go into this season that we commonly call Christmas, or this season where we recognize the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want you to see a proclamation or a declaration or an announcement, if you will, from an angel by the name of Gabriel. As you remember when it says in Luke chapter 1, and you'll have this in your notes and you can go back and refer to it, but I want you to see the flow of how this all came about. This dynasty by design. Let me make this statement too. It's not in your notes, but I want to make this statement because the Holy Spirit is wanting me to make this statement at this time. I want to tell you that this design wasn't designed when Jesus came on the earth. It wasn't designed way back there when Abraham and all those and David and all their descendants came through. I want you to know something today by the Scriptures. This design was designed in the courtroom of heaven by God the Father, God the Son,
this earth, and you know what he would do? He would save his people from sin, and that's what he did for me. That's what he'll do for you. But he also made another proclamation. He not only set up he would save his people from sin and establish his throne of David forever. But you know what else he said? He said he would purchase the church with his own blood, and I'm glad that he did. And that's a sure foundation. And I'm going to tell you, that's a precious stone if you ask me, because it cost our Savior his life. But I want you to notice in the book of Luke, it says in chapter 1, in verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, he says, was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now I'm going to tell you, if God sent you somewhere, you can just bank it. You can just count it down. If God sends you somewhere, he'll be with you. He'll never send you anywhere where he's not with you. I can testify to that fact, and I know it to be true. Anywhere I've gone, and I've asked God to be with me, he's been with me. Every time I got up to preach in the pulpit, and since I've been preaching for some 22 years now, at 23, I guess it's 19. Or 1992, at least 23 years that God has been with me to preach the gospel, he has never failed me yet. And I have been so thankful that he's not failing me today. But Gabriel was sent by God to a young little virgin girl. It says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And it says, in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And it says, and the angel came to her and said, "Hail." He says, "Thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee." He said, "Blessed art thou among women." And when she had saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and her cast her mind on what salutations as this should be. And it says, and the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Let me tell you right now, I believe everybody that truly knows the Lord Jesus Christ, you have found favor with God. You know why? Because God offered the very best when he offered his Son to be the sovereign chief of this dynasty that we're talking about today. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe with all my heart that the reason that Jesus went to Mary is that God went to Mary and sent Gabriel because Mary already knew the Lord. And I believe that with all my heart too. And one day after a while, and this ain't even no secret, but it's a gift from God. I believe after a while, when we get to heaven and we get to see all the beautiful things, I believe the first song we sung today, that was selected, it was mentioned over the hilltop. I'm going to tell you, in this dynasty, there's wonderful mansions there. But I also believe this. I believe that little girl Mary, she already had an experience with the Lord. And you say, how could she have an experience with the Lord? I believe every child of God, from Adam to Adam and Eve, and the first that's ever been saved to the last, they had some kind of experience with the Lord that I know about and they know about. And it's a hard work. It's something inside there. And if God will let us, we'll get to that in just a minute too. But listen to what Mary said. And Mary said to him, he said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." And I'll tell you, if you find favor with God, and then you're in the right bunch of people. He said, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now I'm going to tell you right now, that dynasty started before David. But I'm going to tell you something else. You remember back when the people, they wanted a king. After the Jews, they wanted a king. But they wanted to be like everybody else, you see. They wanted to be like all the other dynasties set up. They wanted to be like this kingdom and that kingdom, you see. But you see, God had already established that kingdom. But he went ahead and gave it to them. And healthy. And you know, when a lot of people look at it, they won't look at it to admire it because of its beauty, you see. I believe one songwriter here in Nashville wrote a song about a bird, you know. It was called The Great Speckled Bird, you remember? And he said to everybody, be down on that bird because it didn't look too good. It was wonderful. Until something comes in here and changes you on the inside, and then the outside looks a lot different. And we'll talk about that in a minute too, if God will let us. But let us establish who started this dynasty. It wasn't David, but it was that baby that was in the womb. This is what it says. And it started in the portals of glory. And then it says, and I want to say this. This sermon, I can preach on it all day. And you can take one subject and go from this subject to this subject. But I'm going to try to keep it as brief and as short as I can today and hit the highlights of this. But I want to tell you that this is a very, very important work of the church. Because I want you, when you leave today, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you need to become a member of the Lord's church. And the only way you're going to become a member of the Lord's church is, first of all, you've got to be saved by God's grace. And then you got to publicly tell your salvation experience. And when you publicly tell your salvation experience, that'll be you telling what Jesus did for you on the inside and not repeating what somebody else has told you to say. You see, that's a beautiful thing about this dynasty. It's always been that way. But here, we want you to notice this. It says this. You'll call his name Jesus, and that's a sermon in itself. 8 days later, I went to be circumcised, but I'll not get into that. He says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And listen to what it says. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob. Just while he's here, you know, a lot of people say, well, he was only here 33 and a third years. That's not too long for a kingdom. I'm going to tell you right now, his kingdom has lasted a lot longer than that. It's a dynasty, my friends. And this is what he says. And he says, and he shall rule or reign over the house of Jacob. He says, forever, and in his kingdom there shall be no end. That's the dynasty I'm talking about. It's a dynasty that has no end. And we have just seen glimpses of the things that will be gathered together. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, this that we celebrate this year is about the Son of God, and he's the one that designed this dynasty that we're talking about. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more now about the key. How do you know whether or not you're a part of this true dynasty that we're talking about? Well, the key that unlocks the dynasty design mystery is found also in the personal ministry of Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with us to Matthew chapter 16, we'll start reading there. It says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, you might ask yourself this question today. Did you really know Jesus? Did you really know the Son of Man? Did you really know the King of this dynasty? Did you really know the King of kings and Lord of lords? And the only way that you can answer this is the only way that Peter said. Now the disciples said, well, some say that you're a John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias, or maybe Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. But he said, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, and Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas. He said, for flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you. He said, but my Father, which is in heaven. And then listen to what he says. He said, now saying to thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock,
gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whosoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then charged he his disciples that he should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And now what is it I'm trying to convey here? And now if you want to be a part of this dynasty, and truly this dynasty is the Lord's church, it is the heavenly kingdom that he has set up. And remember Nicodemus. He said in the Nicodemus, John chapter 3, when he came to him by night, he was inquiring if he was really who he said he was. And he came to him by night. And the Bible says that when he asked him if he was a teacher sent by God, and because he had done all these things, what did Jesus reply to him? He said, you must be born again if you're going to see or be knowledgeable of the kingdom of heaven or this dynasty that has been called by different things. But let me tell you today, if you haven't understood yet, this dynasty that we're talking about today is still a living, breathing organization called the Lord's Church. And I'm glad that it's still here in Nashville, Tennessee. And so you might say, well, I thought to be a part of that church that you had to be a Jew. And now I ask the question today. I'm not a Jewish Israelite. You might say, well, you're not a Jewish Israelite. And if you look at the notes there, in this dynasty, I want to answer that question. Are you truly a Jew? Because it says, hey, go back and look at the definition. This is a succession of kings of the same line or family. Now, I want you to understand something today. Did you know you're a royal descendant if you've been saved by the grace of God? Think about that a moment. I'm talking about being a descendant of a royal dynasty. A bloodline that goes all the way back to Jerusalem and beforehand. Even in the portals of glory, even Daniel prophesied. He said that kingdom has to be established and a breaking to pieces. But he said there'll never be an end to that. Listen to what it says. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. For he is not a Jew. He said, which is one which is one inwardly. And circumcision in that, or is that. And the word is that is in italics in the Bible. If you go back there and look in the King James Version, it means it was added to add clarification to what we're talking about today. I want to clarify this today by this verse of Scripture. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward to the flesh or in the flesh, but he is a Jew, or she is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, and in the spirit, and not in the letter. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. All glory and honor and praise is going to be to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, I like reading in the book of Revelation, I believe it's about the 6th chapter. It talks about all them that came in, and they came to the throne. And as they came to the throne, the Bible says that there was 24 elders. Those 24 elders now have crowns on their head. And I don't know what my crown's going to look like. I don't know what your crown's going to look like. I don't know what the jewels are going to look like. I don't know any of those kind of things. But I know it's going to be precious. I know it's going to be good. But you see, we're going to be before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that dynasty, that design of that dynasty. We're going to be just like those 24 elders. As we come before His throne. And the Bible says that those 24 elders, it says that they took off their crowns and they cast them. They cast them at the throne. The throne of that one. That one that set up this dynasty. This dynasty. This dynasty that I feel in my heart that I know something about. A lot of people they'll say, well, it's this way, it's that way. I don't know about the details of this way and that way, but one thing I do know, I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And I've been touched. I've been touched by the one that I worship today. I've been touched in my heart, and I'm a part of a royal family. And the only way that we know that this, and if you'll see in your notes, you see, I wasn't born a Jew in the flesh, but I've got a spiritual adoption. Yeah. I've been adopted in a king's family. I don't have anything to brag about, because I was just a pauper one day. That means I was poor and desolate, and I was without. And I was just a Gentile wandering to and fro. But because Jesus spoke to my heart and saved me one night from my bedside there in Indianapolis, Indiana, the Bible tells me that you are to me, you and everyone else, that if you've been saved by the grace of God, that you have had a spiritual adoption. And I want to turn over there and read that. And trying to close today. And there's just so much. There's just so much. But this will give you something at least to go and study out a little bit more. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and of death. Now I could go back to that 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we could talk about the shape that Israel had gotten into, where they would, you remember our reading there in the 28th chapter? I guess I need to touch on that just a little bit and point out something there, because I want to bring it to today. You see, there's a lot of people, even today, that are choosing or making a covenant that was made like back then. Said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, and it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Let me tell you, I don't know about you, but I look at the shape of this nation that's in, those who are infiltrating our nation, those that have done what they did out in California, Paris, and other places in New York, and yay, they're in our own backyard right now. And there's a lot of people, even in our judicial system, our government system, our three branches of government. You see, and in a government, it even talks about a government of sovereignty, a race of succession or kings of the same line or family. There's some that even want to talk, that even, they may not say it, but they want to talk a line of lineage even in the government of the United States of America. But this government was not set up that way. It was set up that you and I could come in and worship God in spirit and in truth and according to the dictates of our heart. And that's the way it ought to be. But when we worship that way, we need to understand this, that there's a lot of falsehoods that are being portrayed in our society today. There are those that will accept a lie. They will accept a covenant with death. They will accept an agreement with hell. And they're just overflowing with lies of refuge and falsehood. And then you have a preacher come in today from Kentucky that preached today, and he'll tell you about the lies. He'll tell you about the falsehoods. But I will also tell you the truth. And the truth is, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man can come to the Father unless they come by me. And the rest of the world will say, oh, that's a lie. The rest of the world will say that this dynasty doesn't exist anymore. I'm here to proclaim to you that it does. Amen. And it's a spiritual dynasty. But it is as a spiritual dynasty, it is spiritual in its organization. it is visible.
Amen.
And there have been pastors, when I think about the pastors who have preached from this pulpit, W.T. Russell and many others, I know that they have taught this from this pulpit. Brother Swindle, Brother Maggard, Brother Forsey and others, I know that they have declared this same message that I am declaring today.
That this dynasty is still in existence. And as long as there's one or two that's going to hang on, it'll still be in existence. Because I have established today that there is no end to it. And by the Scriptures. Now as we finish up this message today, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and of sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Faith Church, I want to encourage all of us to do exactly that. Not to walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. You are a part of a dynasty. A dynasty that it will exist forever. And I'm going to tell you this, I got to be honest with you. I'm going to put the word "if" in there. That's a big word, isn't it? What do you mean, "if"? Well, I'll show you. Seven churches of Asia Minor that Jesus talked to every one of them. And out of every one of them, He had called against. But you know what He said? He said, "if." You know how He used the word "if" there? He said, "if you repent." He said, "if you repent, then come back to Me." He says that you'll be with Me all the way to the end. But if you don't repent, and I'm not saying you got anything to repent of, what I am saying is this. If you want to be in existence when the Lord comes back, you will and must and have to stay in the design of the dynasty. And as Jeremiah said, walk in those old paths and don't deviate from them. Now I'm not talking about tradition. You know, a lot of preachers, they'll get up and say, "you can't do this tradition and that tradition." I'm not talking about tradition. I'm talking about doctrine.
Amen.
I'm talking about Baptist doctrine. I'm talking about the doctrine of the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's still right. It has been infiltrated by many so-called churches that I feel pretty confident that are probably not a part of this dynasty anymore. But that's not for me to judge. Our righteous judge will keep that in order. As we continue. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not in the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, wherefore we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God. It shall be that we suffer with Him. And I'm sorry, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So I'm glad to be that the Lord does not just let us wander aimlessly out in this world, But by the spirit of adoption, He has sealed us. The Bible says He has sealed us into the day of redemption by the blood. We have a royal DNA and a signature by the blood of God and by His Son, Jesus Christ, that He sealed us with His Holy Spirit to let us know what part of the dynasty you are. So today, I ask you this. If you are saved and you're led by the Spirit of the Lord, you're not with the Lord's church, then you're a part of that dynasty by the Word of God. We try to establish that. The Church of the Living, True and Living God is that one. Today in our Bible school, or in our Sunday school, we read, and the Sunday school superintendent got up. And you know, he read from Acts chapter 2. And I hadn't even read that part of the Sunday school yet. But if you read in Acts chapter 2, I want to conclude with this. Today, this went right along with what we wanted to talk about and Christian fellowship. I'm going to tell you, there's no greater fellowship than the Sunday school teacher taught us this morning, to have fellowship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, than have fellowship one with another. I'm going to tell you, when you're a part of this dynasty, you are in a select group. And I'm not asking everybody to go away proud. I'm humbled. I am just extremely humbled that and what an honor. What an honor and a blessing it is for Jesus to choose me to be a part of this wonderful dynasty that He established. For that, let's not take it for granted. But what it should do is encourage us to keep pointing souls to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. In Acts chapter 2, in closing, in verse 29, he said, "Men and brethren," Peter doing the preaching. I got a feeling he preached a lot longer than I did this morning. Maybe you don't agree with that, but I believe he did. He said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his sepulcher is with us until this day." But you might say, "Well, I thought you said Jesus. I thought you said Jesus is the head of this dynasty." That establishes my whole argument, if you will, my reason. You see, he's alive. He once was dead, 3 days, but now he's alive forevermore. Never to die. David, when he was put in his grave, he didn't resurrect up. But the leader of this dynasty, he did. He said, "Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath that of the fruit of his loins, according to his flesh, he should raise up Christ to sit on his throne." The throne of this dynasty. He's saying this before his faith of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. He said, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." You might say, "Well, Peter truly was an eyewitness. He was seen of Cephas or Peter, and he was seen of 500 brethren at one time, and he was seen of all these others." That was read even in this chapter, where the men and women had gathered together in the upper room, you see. And even if Thomas saw him, they all saw him. They know he's alive. But you say, "Where's our witness today?" The witness is in the dynasty. That witness is in you and me. Because we know that there's something in us, as the Sunday school teacher explained today. I know something happened. I know I was lost, and I was so afraid of dying and going to hell, but then there was a peace that came into me. And you know who did that? The Prince of Peace. The One. And He's got so many titles in this dynasty, I can just go on and on and on and on about it. Emmanuel, God with us. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear.
For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said in himself, "The Lord said unto thy Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And so if you say, "Well, I'd like to be a part of this dynasty," you would? Well, you'll have to follow the same design that was set up even prior to that of the church on Pentecost. Some will say, "Well, it didn't exist." Absolutely it did. There was 120 that met up in the upper room. How can you add something to something that doesn't exist? It had already existed in wide fashion, and they had met together, and even named, he read today, he named all those brothers that met together, but he also said Mary was there, and the other women. They were there. And so you say, "I'd like to be a part of it." First of all, get saved. How do you get saved? Oh, you speak the Lord and say, you know that you're saved. Amen. After you get saved, the Spirit will lead you. Having been led to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and in a covenant that you make with the Lord, with this church, He will lead you to unite with this dynasty. You say, when did that start? It started when they started coming to John to be baptized. Way before Pentecost. And John, what did he say? He said, "Give me fruits meet for repentance. Evidence that you've been saved, that you really have been saved, that somebody witnessed to you." You know, there's another message that I could go on about. Remember when he was baptizing? We talk a lot about Peter. Peter preached this great message. A lot of people say, "Well, I don't know what I can do to help in this dynasty. I don't know what I can do to help in this church." Just be an Andrew. You said, "Be an Andrew." Yeah, just be an Andrew, Peter's brother. When Jesus was down there getting baptized and John was there, Peter and Andrew was only following John, he said, "Come and see." He witnessed to Peter and said, "Peter, come and see. The anointed one is here." That may have been the only thing that Andrew ever did, was get his brother and say, "Come on, I want to show you the anointed one, Jesus Christ." If you might go through life and say, "Well, I don't know that I've ever done much for this dynasty. I've not done much for this church and the Lord's cause." Let me tell you, if you just told one person about your testimony and it helped them to get saved, it didn't save them, but it helped them to get saved, you don't know what impact that would have in this dynasty. And you never know in this life, but when you get to heaven, you'll know. When the people were pricking their heart, they said, "Man, brethren, what must we do?" He said to pray. And then after they got saved, it says that they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to what? To that church, to that dynasty, such as should be saved. And today, He's still doing it. Aren't you thankful that He's delayed His coming just a little bit longer so that we could help people to get right with the Lord? That's the dynasty by design that the Lord laid upon my heart. I hope it'll be a benefit to you. There are some things I really enjoy studying, and I was really excited about studying this. And it just fed my soul. And I hope that it has been for you like it did for me.
Amen.
As we stand and sing, is there anything on anyone's heart before we do that? Anything on your heart? I get to this part of the service, I don't know what else to do, because I feel like the Lord's just thrown me out like a dish rag. And it's what it is. And to Him be glory and honor. And I'm so thankful to be here today. And I want to thank the church. I want to thank you for what an honor it is to be able to come and be with you. Thank you for being so hospitable to my wife and I and our family and our children, our grandchildren. And we love you, and our prayers are definitely with you. And you pray for us as we stand up and sing or do whatever we need to do. You just let go and let the Lord have right away.
These two messages came to me coming off the ridge. Coming, you know where the ridge is on 65? And I had to reach in and find an old receipt and started writing notes on the back of the piece of paper. Went down I-65 and down the ridge. And well, I guess the Lord was driving the truck. I don't know. And that's where it started.
You say the old back wheel?
Yeah. He does. Thank you for that. Anyone else?
Brother Ron, I got a letter here I want to read so everybody can have a little notice about it. It's from Bedford Missionary Baptist Church. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, we hope this letter finds your church is receiving blessing from God. Bedford Missionary Baptist Church has been greatly blessed recently. Lane Thompson, son of Brother Daniel and Sister Sheila Thompson, has been called to preach. Lane will preach his first sermon on Sunday night, December 20th, at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. The service will begin at 6 p.m. You're invited after the service as our guest to join Bethel Church for a life of Christmas prepared by our church members. Bethel Church is located 3730 East Division Street, Mount View. If you have any questions, there's a phone number here. I will post this in the best view. So, Lane Thomas is preaching his first sermon December the 20th. Anyone else have anything to say? Well, I appreciate everybody being here this morning. Appreciate it. I don't feel like your visitors are part of this thing. Love each and every one of here this morning. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed.
Let us pray tonight to say a word.